You're listening to a Peak Media production.
And now, coming to you from the Windy City, it's the Daily Dime with your host, Tim Keller.
Welcome in, everyone, to this Tuesday edition of the Daily Dime. Today is September 3rd, and I hope y'all had a good holiday weekend. We finally got some real football with week one of the college season kicking off, and that's mainly what I want to talk about, so let's jump right into it. So I am super excited to be back and finally talking football again. I know we technically had some games last week with week zero, but in my mind, this is the real start of the college football season. Then obviously we have NFL coming up later this week. So we finally got to kick off. And, you know, week one, you're not going to have a bunch of great games. You know, typically you have some of the better teams playing some of the smaller schools. But we did have a couple good matchups, and so I figured we'd run through those and the rest of the top 10 at least and just kind of talk through what happened. So I wanted to start off with Georgia. They're number one in the AP poll. They were playing Clemson in Atlanta, which is technically considered a neutral site game, even though it's in Georgia's backyard. And that's probably a whole other conversation. But anyway, the start of this one, both teams looked very evenly matched. No one scored in the first quarter. And I'm thinking, wow, maybe Clemson's a little bit better than I was originally expecting them to be coming into this season. But then Georgia started to pick it up a little bit. They go into the half leading 6-0. Then they make some adjustments and they come out and just dominated the second half. They would go on to win 34-3. They outscored them 28-3 in the second half. And I left this game thinking, wow, like Georgia is actually very deserving of that number one spot. They looked so dominant defensively, and they are again going to be a force to be reckoned with. And then on the other side of the coin, Clemson just, I don't know, they just didn't look like themselves. They didn't look like they even deserved to be the 14th team, let alone even maybe ranked in the top 25. I think they left this game with a lot more questions than answers. And they still refuse to use the transfer portal. It just doesn't seem like Dabo is really, you know, kind of staying up, keeping up with the evolution of the current college football landscape. And I'm just not sure how good this team is going to be. I mean, the ACC is down, you know, it's down across the board. So they still might run the table, still have a good chance to, you know, win the ACC. But man, I just don't know. This team just did not look good. And Georgia just dominated this game, especially the second half. So my biggest takeaways, I don't really know what Clemson is. Like, they still might end up with 9 or 10 wins, but I just don't think they're a very good team. And this Georgia team, you know, a lot of people were talking, you know, in the preseason here about Ohio State and their roster and how that's probably on paper the best roster in college football. But, you know, Georgia was ranked number one in the AP poll, and it seemed to be, you know, kind of this, you know, thought of, hey, you know, Georgia has been so good the past few years, we kind of have to put them at one until they prove us otherwise. And honestly, I don't really disagree with that, you know, premise. I thought the top 10 and even the top 25 for the most part made a lot of sense. But I think this game, you know, kind of proved, hey, we belong up here, at least in the conversation for number one. So, you know, hats off to them. But then, you know, speaking of Ohio State, they had a much lesser opponent. They were hosting Akron, and they went on to win 52-6, which was, you know, no surprise. They were essentially 50-point favorites. But the one pleasant surprise I thought was Will Howard. I thought he played really well, and you could see the difference between him and Kyle McCord from last year. Just his pocket presence, his leadership. He was able to move the ball downfield a couple times, and I was really impressed with him. And then, you know, I wasn't as impressed with the running backs. I was really excited to see them come in. They've been so highly touted between Henderson and then the transfer Judkins. But a lot of that I thought was a factor of the offensive line. They didn't get a ton of push against Akron. And Akron's front six, they were calling it, was very, you know, highly touted coming into this game for Akron. But still, it's Akron, and they weren't able to get a lot of push. So we'll see if that changes in the upcoming weeks. They have another couple, you know, lower ranked opponents, so they won't truly be tested until a few more weeks into the season. But another bright spot for the Buckeyes was Jeremiah Smith. I wasn't sure how much playing time that he would get, you know, being a true freshman, even though he was the number one recruit in the country this year. But that was not and not any reason because of him, just because they have so many other good receivers on this team between Carnell Tate, Brandon Innes, Rodgers. It's littered with five stars. And so you just think, okay, no matter how good this guy is, I'm not sure how much he's actually going to get in the game, but they name him a starter and then he comes out, he drops his first pass, he gets a penalty on the next play, and you're thinking like, okay, like hopefully this guy just has the jitters. And then he goes on to have a huge game. He was, you know, flawless after that. He ends up with 6 catches, 92 yards, 2 touchdowns, everything that you would want from him. He was just great. So that was another bright spot for them. And the defense was really good too. They give up 6 points to Akron, but, you know, kind of a bend but don't break mentality. It's only 6 points, you know, first game of the year. They'll be better. So no surprises there. But then looking at Oregon, you know, they're the 3rd ranked team. They were hosting Idaho. A little more of a surprise there. They go up 14-0 at the half, but then Idaho comes out, they score in the 3rd, they cut it to 14-7, and then I think it was 17-14 at one point, actually, before Oregon scored again to go on to win 24-14. But Oregon was one of those teams, even though they were ranked 3rd, I thought they were a little bit underrated, at least kind of in the like the talks throughout the national media. And they just did not look great. I mean, Dylan Gabriel still threw for 380 and 2 touchdowns, but I thought they would play way better against Idaho, especially at home, and just didn't really see it. So they have a couple question marks as well as we start to head into the next couple weeks here. But then a team that had essentially no question marks after week one was Texas. They were ranked 4th coming into this week, and they were hosting Colorado State. And I don't think Colorado State is that bad of a team. You know, that's a decent first week matchup if you're not playing, you know, like a rival or another Power 5 or I guess now Power 4 opponent. And they just dominated this game. They win 52-0. Quinn Ewers was great. And Arch Manning actually got in and scored as well. And like I said, 52-0, you know, so similar score to Ohio State, but you know, their defense didn't give up anything. So, super impressive from them. Very similar for Alabama as well. They were hosting Western Kentucky. They went on to win 63-0 in Kalen DeBoer's coaching debut. Jalen Milroe was great as well. He threw for 200 yards, had 3 touchdowns, and they just looked super dominant as well. Again, it's Western Kentucky, but 63-0 is nothing to sneeze at. But then, not to one-up them, Ole Miss at 6 beat Furman 76-0, which is just a crazy, crazy score. Like, I know it's Furman, I know you're at home, it's week one, but 76 is a lot of points. Jackson Dart was awesome. He had 418 yards and 5 touchdowns passing, and that offense is definitely going to be a problem for a lot of teams under Lane Kiffin as the season progresses, so they looked awesome in week one. And then looking at the 7th ranked team, we had Notre Dame. And so they were on the road at Texas A&M, one of the toughest atmospheres in the country to play. But they went in and they went 23-13. And, you know, I honestly wasn't too surprised here. I think, oddly enough, like Notre Dame, I think they're probably most seasons coming in a little bit overrated. But this season, I actually think they're a little bit underrated because there's so much talk about them being overrated. But I really like Riley Leonard at quarterback. You know, I don't think he's an elite guy, but he brings a lot of experience, a lot of leadership to that team. And I wasn't too worried about them going in to Kyle Field. I thought he would have them on the right track. And I love their coaching staff as well. So I really wasn't too worried about them. I even texted a couple of my buddies. I said, give me Notre Dame money line, because they were underdogs going into this one. And they go on to win by 10. So a statement win from them in week one. But then the next team was Penn State. So they came into this week ranked 8th, and they were on the road at West Virginia. And this was another pretty good win. You know, I wasn't expecting them to come in and play as well as they did. They win 34-12 in Morgantown, and Drew Aller played really well. He had 216 yards, 3 touchdowns. He's had a lot of criticism too. You know, he was such a highly touted recruit, and people are saying, oh, he can't get the ball downfield. He has all this other criticism. But he came out and, you know, showed some flashes of brilliance. So they could be another force to be reckoned with in the Big Ten as well, with Oregon and Ohio State. So curious to see how they progress throughout the season. Big win for them in week one. And then, you know, the 4th team in the Big Ten, Michigan, they were hosting Fresno State, and they ended up winning this one 30-10, but they did not look good, in my opinion. This game was pretty close throughout. They end up with a late pick six that kind of blew the game open a little bit. But they weren't able to move the, or excuse me, they weren't able to move the ball very well. The defense, you know, looked like it should. But again, it's Fresno State, and I think they have a lot of questions, especially at the quarterback position. And then Donovan Edwards wasn't great either. I forget his exact stats, but I think he had like something like 13 touches for like 30 yards. Just not great from him. So we'll see if they're able to turn it around, but they have Texas coming in this week, and I'm taking Texas in that one. They just, Texas looked so good, and I'm not sold on Michigan this year. So we'll see what happens this week, but not the highest hopes for the guys up in Ann Arbor. And then speaking of some potential struggles, Florida State at 10. So they, you know, they're at 10 because we didn't have an updated AP poll, and they had already lost last week to Georgia Tech in Ireland. But then last night they lose again to Boston College, and they were just dominated. I think Boston College had almost 40 minutes in like time of possession. They just ran all over them. They go on to win 28-13. The score honestly could have been worse. They took some knees at the end from inside the red zone. And man, speaking of questions, I mean, Florida State just, that is not going to be a pretty sight down in Tallahassee. They're, you know, they're 0-2 now. Both their losses are, you know, the teams you're not expecting to be too great between Georgia Tech and Boston College. And yeah, I don't know. They have a ton of questions as well. DJ looked awful again, just missed some wide open guys. They're getting dominated in the trenches, and they're for sure going to fall out of the top 10. I mean, most likely the top 25 now at this point. So we'll see when the poll comes out, but not looking good in Tallahassee. So that'll wrap it up for the top 10. A couple of other games that I wanted to talk about that I thought were notable. USC went into Death Valley and beat LSU 27-20 on Sunday night. So I thought that was really impressive from them, especially on the defensive side. That's kind of been their bigger question mark over the past couple of seasons. They hold LSU to 20 points on the road. And then they, you know, obviously get the win, and Miller Moss played really well. He seems to be a lot of people's, dark horse Heisman candidate. But yeah, we'll see if they can keep that up as well and potentially compete in the Big Ten. You kind of, like I mentioned, you have your top three with Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State. We'll see if Michigan can avoid some losses here. But, you know, USC, I don't think they play Ohio State or Oregon this year. So they kind of avoid the two big boys in the conference, and they might be able to run the table and compete as well. And then the other game I wanted to talk about was Miami. They were on the road down in Florida, and just dominated the Gators. They win 41-17. Cam Ward looked great. He's probably, speaking of Heisman candidates, going to be on that watch now as well, and they're going to be definitely a team to look out for in the ACC. Now, like I mentioned, the ACC is down. Florida State already looks really rough. And Miami's probably got to be the favorites at this point, especially after Clemson losing as well. So, but yeah, so that'll just about wrap it up for the week one coverage of college football and this episode. So we will talk to you guys tomorrow. As always, thank you for listening. And if you would, please consider following the show and rating 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you may listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya.